Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Here come that man.
Welcome to my house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show. I am Rodney Jackson. That's some hot, hot, hot intro music. I got a barn blazing for you today. Today's topic is going to be about systems of demise hidden in plain sight. System of demise. I should say systems of demise hidden in plain sight. We're having some technical difficulty on Blog Talk today. So perhaps we will have, JFK says, a little bit of easy, hard word spell and much more. You're listening to Welcome to My House, the Rodney Jackson Show, right here on the J. King Network.
Hey, y'all, I know y'all ready. Let's go. On your mark, get set. You ready?
Yeah, George, I'm ready.
KG, I know you ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tony
O, you better be ready.
You know I'm there.
Super Maximum.
Are you ready?
Super Maximum.
Are you ready?
Super Maximum. Are you ready?
To the maximum.
Right there. Welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show. Believe it or not, that track, To the Maximum, produced or co-produced Robert Redwine, George Clinton. Believe it or not. Welcome, chat room. Welcome, callers. I think we're going to have a good one. I'm in a ponder state. If you just joined us, I told you the topic today will be systems of demise hidden in plain sight. Before I give this first set of statistical stats, I want to tell you a story first. I encountered a gentleman, and I want you to keep this in mind throughout the whole show. I'm in the phone store, Mobile Shark, down here in California, and I'm just talking to my good friend Rich, and this guy walks in. He's got a tattoo on the back of his neck. It says IOU. So I'm saying to myself, what in the hell reason would anybody have on the back of their neck tattooed IOU? So you guys know me. Sir, what's the significance of you having IOU tattooed in ink on your neck? He turns around and he looks at me and he says, well, if I told you, you'd probably think I'm crazy. Well, it's too late. I already think you're crazy, but I didn't tell him that. And I didn't think that either because a buddy of mine, it was a joke. I thought it was funny. So he says, well, and mind you, he didn't want to tell me. He was really reluctant to say anything. So he says, well, put it like this. There's people on earth here that are not humans. I've met them. He called them a name, but I can't remember what the name was. So he says, there's a lot of them here, and they know me, and they could have taken me away a long time ago. So I owe them for my life here on this earth. And yes, I'm thinking just like you guys are thinking. Then he says, and he says the word supernatural. He says he's had countless encounters of the supernatural. And I'm asking for more. I want to know, give me an example. And he didn't want to tell me. So he said, I'll tell you what. I went to my closet one day and I opened it, and all my clothes were going in one direction from the bottom. Like a magnet was drawing them to him. You know, a magnet was drawing the clothes to the magnet. And he says, I put my hand in there, and my pores begin to open up. It was a portal. Yes, I'm thinking like you guys are thinking right now. Is he on some type of new strain of bath salt? Is he drinking Drano? I was thinking that. But I'm available, though. I'm not going to discredit it. So I said, so are you saying to me, here's the question and answer, are you saying to me that there's other realms, there's portals to another place here other than Earth? He said, brother, absolutely. So I say, so you're saying to me, would you be safe to say this? When you die, he said, hey, man, Stop thinking about dying. That's nothing. He said, everything that you people here on this earth are going through, all the emotions that you run through, fear, and everything that you go through is just a trial to see who you are, what kind of a person you are. Because when you leave here, there's another consciousness, and it's a place that's far better than this one here on this earth here. Live every day to the fullest. I just wanted to leave that with you so that when we do go through all of these things, maybe some of these things won't be as big to you now as they probably were before I started the show today. If you just joined us, we're talking about systems of demise that's been put into place, hidden in plain sight. My question to you guys would be this: who would want a system like this even in place? If on the surface it's supposed to be the United States, the greatest country in the world, we take care of our own, it's the American dream. Right, guys? You have your freedoms. You go out and get a job. You're free to do what you want. People come to this country for the freedom, right? So I'm just asking questions. I'm just bringing things out for thought. Here's a statistic that I want to share with you. This is just in the United States. They've broken us down into classes. We're God's children, though. But some man or a group of men and women, and we'll just call them X. X has says that we're upper class, upper middle class, lower middle class, working class, and lower class. The upper class of the United States, these are the people that make $200,000 and up. What percentage do you think represents the upper class in the United States? I'll let the chat room take a stab at it, see what they put up. What percentage in the United States represents upper class? I don't know that there's any one number either. I just went online, went to a site, and took some stats down. I don't even want to really be in a stat. So, Into Knowledge says he would say about 10%. 10% of the U.S. population is making $200,000 and up. They're considered the upper class. Let me share it with you. 1.5%. Why would X want that? Oh, what can the upper class do? Oh, well, they can scoop their whole family up and get on a plane, first class, and fly anywhere they want to fly in the whole world. And they probably don't work a job. They have a system that works for them where money is just being generated. They might have some type of investment that just affords them large amounts of money to just live. They don't have to leave the house to do anything. Why is that afforded to 1% of the total population in the United States? I just want you to know that that exists. What's hidden? I'll tell you what's hidden. Why that is allowed to exist. What's right in your face is that you're not getting on anything first class because you have to go to work tomorrow. And if you do go on vacation, you're not sitting first class, not by way of your pocketbook. Maybe you got a hookup. But the majority of you are going nowhere. Some of you may be going to Long Beach to walk on the Queen Mary for a couple hours, and you're going to go back home. And you're going to carpool there. Upper middle class. This is what this site says that upper middle class is. You can be called upper middle class if you make $75,000 to $100,000 a year. 15% of the U.S. population represents that. The lower middle class, they make $35,000 to $75,000. They're 32% of the U.S. population. The working class, $15,000 to $30,000, 32%. And the lower class, well, they make $8,000 and below. They represent all the way up to 20%. The highest class available, 1% of the U.S. population. The lowest class achievable, 20%. Why is that allowed to exist? I'm not asking you how can we change it. I'm just simply asking you why. Why is that allowed to exist? Why is that so important to X? And I started off with this stat first because I think that perhaps anything else that I talk about from this point on would probably go right back to these stats, the money. Road to Sodom says, hey, Rodney, oh, he's saying hello. Hey, Road, how you doing? I broadcast at 3 o'clock, typically from 3 o'clock to 3:30 on the Brian Orr Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. One of the systems that's hidden in plain sight, I think most of you may know about this. It's called Primerica. This is a multi-level marketing company. And I'm going to tell you about all these companies. I'm not going to say that the products don't work, but let me tell you what does not work. Primerica, if you're not familiar with what it is, it's a financial resolution company, I'll say. What they try and do is to get you financially solvent. If you have, they look for people typically with homes and credit card loans and car loans, a bunch of loans outside of your home loan. And what they want to do is they send agents out. You find them in the mall. They probably walk up to you. What they want to do is get you at the kitchen table and get all your financial stuff out on the table. They want to take your home loan and combine everything else that you have into your home. Then they want to combine that all in one loan and they refi it. And if you were paying $7,000 a month, now you're paying $4,000 a month. That extra $3,000, no, you're not going to put that in your pocket. They want to put that into some type of security. They want you to start putting some of it away. You're going to have a life insurance that covers, you know, if the breadwinner dies, you're going to have money, a policy that will pay off the house. That's what the whole system is designed to do. So you can pay off your house, and as your house gets paid off, they can lower the coverage on your life insurance because now where there was once $350,000 need to pay off a house, now that's gone. You can cancel your life insurance, and the money you were paying for your life insurance, you can continue to feed that into some type of investment, and you can live happily ever after. It doesn't sound bad. Of course, all of these services are all tied into their Citigroup financial services. They want you to they're making money just like the other banks, but they do help you. Here's the problem. The people that know everything there is to know about Primerica are few and far between. The group of people that approach you, the one person that brings you in, he doesn't know Jack. And the person above him, they don't know everything. And how are they going to make money off of you? Because they ask you to give the names of all your family members and they start writing policies on every last one of your family members. And you don't make a dime because you're not licensed yet. And then once you get licensed, all of your family members have been gotten already. They use your family members to train you. And then when you recruit people in, you're to get their family members and you make money off of them. Doesn't feel right to me, but that's how they do it. And why does X want that system in place? And how is Primerica still here? Is because of this. For what you have to do to actually be literally successful, you have to jump through so many hoops. You have to go through so much training. And most of the people that do Primerica already have jobs. They know that you're not going to do what it takes to be necessary to be successful. So guess what? You're going to start and stop. They're going to make your money. That's why they're still around. What's hidden? They're not going to tell you all the systems that they have in place. They're not going to tell you that they expect you to fail. They're not going to tell you, I'm not equipped to train you. That's what's hidden. What's not hidden is they're taking your money. Every day, every email you get, they got some training next week at the Hilton, and it costs $75 to get in. A lot of the training costs money. What's not hidden is that entry fee that you got to take. Does Primerica work? Yes. Does a lot of these multi-level marketing companies work? Does the product work? Yes, it does work. Monavie, it works. How do I know? Because I joined them. I've been a part of all of them. Does the juice work? Yes. If you got some hurting joints, take some active. Take Monavie. It's the green bottle, the green label. Drink one in the morning and one in the evening. And watch how your joints won't hurt anymore. It has glucosamine in it. It's got 19 berries that allegedly comes from Brazil, the acai berry. And they have this patent that they've devised up that they're able to take the berry without it losing its nutrients. It's the special way that they prepared the acai berry. But they don't show it to you. You don't know any of the doctor's names. But Monavie will come to your house with all your people and show you this fantastic financial program about how you can make $247 million per day by selling juice. But how ironic, none of the people that's training you are making any money, nowhere near the money like that. And they always got some guy coming in with 18 Ferraris, he's coming to speak. But he's not going to come to your house. He's going to be at the Hilton at a charge of $75 apiece. I'm asking you, why does X want that system in place? Well, so they can continue to exist and take your money. They're selling you a dream that's going to be hard for you to actually achieve. That's the truth. I just named you two multi-level marketings. I think they're all like that. The products work, but what you have to do to get that money, that's what's probably not going to work. Not because you can't do it, because there's not anyone that knows everything to train you. And if you're lucky to get that one dude is not going to be training the masses. So that's not cool. I like that order, because I didn't do that in order my last show. X says, we're going to have the armed forces, and I want you guys to go out to the high schools, and I want you to go out and recruit. Who knows? They may even be at the middle schools, too. You know, where the generals and sergeants, they get all uniformed up, and they see you walking by, and then they ask you, hey, you want to be a soldier one day? Do you think they tell you they're going to send you to Afghanistan and you could be blown to bits by an IED? No. They're going to ask you what it is you plan on doing with your life. And if you say you're a dancer, then they're going to say, oh, we have a program. It's called Tops and Blues. We can get you in there. You do a little stint, basic training, and then after a year or two, we'll send you. Well, I just want you guys to know, and you probably already know, that a lot of people never get to where they promised they were going to send you. And some of you go to war, and some of you are veterans already. If you got a story to share, call in 347-205-9366. These are not lies. What's hidden is what I just told you. that they're going to promise you something that there's a good possibility you'll never go. That's what's hidden. What's hidden is maybe they don't really in detail tell you that you may go to Iraq and get your legs blown off. That's probably somewhat hidden. But the reality is you see people on wheelchairs, you see it on television all the time. You see people with one leg, and you ask them what happened. I was in service. But they're still selling the armed forces. And when these people come back, are they afforded the care, the medical attention, the counseling? Are they able to be placed into jobs so that they can be productive? I can tell you a lot of them no, because I've talked to these cats. They can't get jobs. Some of them are just not mentally stable to hold jobs. The medical insurance, it's inadequate. Why is it that some of us can only get Medi-Cal and other people get full-blown medical coverage, full coverage? Why? Because that Medi-Cal only pays so much money to doctors, and they're not interested in doing a lot for a little. It's money. You Medi-Cal people, behind closed doors, what's hidden is that they're not fixing you. They're not giving you all the medical care. Who knows what they're doing in that back room? That's what's hidden. And for those of you that have a shoddy coverage, where you have to pay so much money that you can barely afford to go in and just get a basic checkup, that's right in your face. That's not hidden. What's hidden? Oh, you have medical coverage. That's the hidden part. Why they do it? That's hidden. What's in your face is that you're not able to get some of this stuff. When you go in to get an MRI, they're charging you a lot of money. You can't afford to get it. I'm just asking people, why do we just settle for it? Just ask questions. Now we're back to the communication. Make some phone calls. Learn about your policy. But don't forget about what that guy said, the supernatural guy. He said, man, this is all a test. There's a graduation from here. Why am I doing this show today? So that we don't put so much into these obstacles, these man-made obstacles that's placed here on this earth. I'm trying to show you, I'm trying to give you a tool to locate some happiness in these little coves. There's a lot of bad stuff going on, but there is happiness here. And we just got to find it, and it's within each other. It's good people being amongst good people. That's the happiness. And when good people stick together, then we're happy. Why can't we all have good health care? Why did it have to be so difficult with all this political talks, Obamacare and this money here moving? I'm just asking you why we can't all have good health care. Who wants some of us to have subpar health care and others to have the best health care? Some of you got cysts and bumps on your body right now that you can't afford to go get looked at. Some of your knees are hurting so bad like mine right now, you can't afford to even just go in and get an MRI to just be diagnosed, let alone get it fixed. I just want to know what's wrong. Oh, well, that's going to cost $3,000. I don't have $3,000. The 1% has got my $3,000. And I'm paying more taxes than they are. I'm just asking why. Why does X want that? Why does X want 1% of the population to make most of the money and the rest of us to make nothing? Why does he want us to not have good health care and then don't even let us be able to afford to buy healthy food so that when we get sick that we could go to the doctor and get looked at? I'm just asking. If you just joined us, we're talking about systems of demise that's hidden in plain sight. Do we not see it, or do we see it and we just say, ah? Or are we really just not looking up, opening our eyes? Well, you figure it out. We talked about the armed forces, our schools, man. Why do some schools have my kid's school? I'm just fortunate. I could just say, well, my kid's got it, and don't worry about it. I walk into my kid's school. They have a computer room. There's Apple computers on all the desks. I know that there's other schools that don't have a computer, not one computer, let alone 10 or 15 or 20. Why does my son's school have good stuff in their school, but the school across town, they have nothing? Why is there one teacher to every 45 to 50 students? What one person could watch 50 first graders? And what are they learning? And why does X say that's conducive? You're going to progress there. We're going to educate our youth with that ratio there. Why was I just told not long ago that high school students at certain schools are allowed to perform finals as a group opposed to individually? That means that if you don't know anything, you can pass your final and get a diploma. You can graduate out of high school and don't know how to even read or write. They're allowing that, and I'm telling you firsthand, because I own a school bus company, I was told this by a teacher. My jaws dropped. I didn't know that. So for you parents that have kids in school and you're just dropping them off and you just think that they're being taught, you better take a day off from work and go into the school and talk to those teachers. And you probably should talk to your children more, because what's going on in those schools, you will probably be surprised. Why do some schools have and other schools don't have? Why do the governments want to take the pay away from these teachers to make them less involved in teaching our children? And if our teachers are learning less, what does that mean when us at 40, when we get 60, who's running our country? When our kids get to high school, are they being told how to go to the next level? Are they being shown a trade? Are they being told how to obtain scholarships via academically? Or are they being herded into the financial aid program, loans? Why are the major credit card companies sitting out, camping out at college campuses? Why is it easier for a college kid that has no money? It's easier for them to get a credit card than it is for us working people out here to obtain a credit card. We're just trying to get a $300 limit, but they're denying us. But your daughter got a $500 limit, and she just got into college, and she don't make 3 cents a month, and they gave her a credit card. I'm not asking you to solve Chinese arithmetic. I'm just asking you to learn why. How? Just by asking questions. Communication. Simple, basic communication. It's the Rodney Jackson Show, y'all.
Network, where the people come together. The J King Network, where the people come together. The J King Network, where the people come together. The people come together. The J King Network, where the people come together.
Welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show. If you just joined us, we're talking about systems of demise hidden in plain sight. If you have a question or comment you'd like to make, feel free to call in 347-205-9366. I'm not depressed, and I hope you guys aren't. Internet says, most just think it's the natural order of things, which couldn't be further from the truth, because education is directly related to income per capita. Has always been that way around the world. Get involved. Just get a little bit involved. I've learned from my kid, and I just share my experience. My 8-year-old was my first kid that I ever have. I'm going to tell you something else, what I realized. After all the talks about relationships, you know, that stuff was real important, man. Regardless of whose fault it is, one person or the other, I can tell you this. I just so happened to not get girls pregnant, but I was moving around. So for those of you that are listening to me, know this. You get a girl and you sleep with her and she gets pregnant and she has that kid. And when your communication is deficient enough where you guys are now battling one another, verbally or even physically, understand that the both of you are idiots. And the guy will decide, you know, she's a trip. And usually the kid goes with the mom. And let's say it's a boy. And then you split and you're away from the chick. You move out. And you go find another girl. And you're trying to balance the time. You're trying to be with your son enough to where you think it's cool. But the time that you're away is damaging because there's going to be a point, comes a point where he needs his dad. And not his mom, but moms, they're mad. And what ends up happening is what I see. I coach basketball. I see boys that are sitting there crying on the court when they fall a little bit. It's a wide range of things, man. I don't even know if I can get it out of my mouth, but I see it now. It's tragic. It's tragic when two parents can only see their differences and just cover up the kid. They're not even thinking about the kid. They're thinking about taking you to court. How much stuff, who gets the most stuff, and the kid ends up suffering. Well, those are going to be the kids that run our country that we're going to live in the next 10 to 15 years or 20 years. I'll be 68 in 20 more years. And for every kid that we ignore and pass up, see, the parts that we're supposed to be doing, the communing together that we're supposed to be doing, that makes an already bad world even more horribler if there is a word, horribler. We're dooming this world even worse off. But don't forget about what we talked about, Mr. Supernatural. He says it's a trial. It's a test to see what kind of a person you are. We as people, we don't need to compound anything in the negative to something that already is existing. That's just terrible. We can't even eat healthy food or get good medical care. And it has nothing to do with us. This has to do with X. When you buy a house, why can't we all have houses in Beverly Hills or whatever city is nice in your state? Tell me why there's a certain looking individual that stays in those areas. Who's responsible for making it so that happens? I live in a good part of town, but I don't live on the other side, on the other side of Ventura, in those really big houses that have the really big gates and the big front yards and the big house and the big backyards. How come we all can't go there? And if you do get into one of those big homes, why do they foreclose? Why can't they keep the payments up on it? Why does every entertainer start off big and finish off bad? What's the show? What's the show that's always talking about that bring the movie stars in? What's it called? Jesus, help me out, chat room. I can't think of the name of the show. Karen was going to do the show. I think Jay refused to let her be on it. Unsung? I think it's Unsung. Tell me, in the entire music industry, why are all these stories the same? A great singing talent signs a contract, and in the end, when they get smart enough, they realize that the contract that they signed was not in their best interest and all their publishing has been taken away. They run into tax problems, and then in the end, they're living in a tuna can under the freeway. I'm asking you, why are so many stories like that? Some of the greatest singers we've ever known. Systems of demise hidden in plain sight. What's reality to you? Yeah, the rented limo, the videos in the rented house. What's hidden is the artist that you think is so great. What's real is the talent, but what's not real is that they don't live like that. They're really broke. They have to sell an astronomical amount of albums to even make money off of the sale of an album. How do they make money? That's why you see them in every state. Touring. That's how they make money. How hard is the hustle? I'll tell you. Plane flight, arrive, hotel, TV, magazines, in stores. Somebody wants them. Because if you come here, you can make money. Prince could probably come here now and make all kinds of money. Prince is going to be in town. Come to my store. I'll pay you a couple of thousand. Come to my store. Come. You don't have time to live life with people. He has to hide from people. It's money. They're on the road all the time. 6 month tours, 7 month tours. They're not at home chilling. They're singing because they can't make no money from album sales. Wow, man. Unsung. Watch it. Music industry. A system of demise hidden in plain sight, for sure. You want to go to food? You want to go to grocery stores? You want to talk about that? Go into your store and look at your food. I'm just asking why. Why, X? Why can't we get fresh produce that has no pesticides on it? Can we get vegetables and fruit where you have not touched it? You haven't altered it or anything? No GMO. Can we get some meat that you're not injecting with steroids? Why is it illegal for growers to grow natural cows without injecting them? Why do they have to inject them? Monsanto's, why? Why would you shut down a grow house if they don't use these chemicals? Systems of demise hidden in plain sight. What's hidden? They're poisoning the pigs. They're poisoning the cows. That's hidden, but it's not even hidden because they tell you. But we still buy it. Everybody's fat. You get mad because I say it, but why is everybody's midsection blowing up? It's the food, man. It's the food, man. It's the food. It's the food. They're poisoning the food. X, can we have a store that gives us the option of getting good food? I'm asking, chat room, what are we doing from today on? Is the issue really between us? Should you and I be fighting with one another? Or should we be gathering together? Collecting information together? Should we be trying to get a little bit more spiritual together? Should we be trying to teach each other the Bible, share with each other the Bible, or should we be arguing about what the hell the verse means? It doesn't mean that, it means that. Should you be available or shut off? What are we doing? That's what I'm asking you. We're not perfect, and we're not going to be doing everything right. But from today, moving forward, we should be thinking of growing. Or maybe I shouldn't be telling you what you should be doing. But what feels good to me is that we grow. I'm going to grow. I'm going to try and grow. But I grow from the same people. I'm available because I don't know everything. And none of you in the chat room know everything. And none of you on the lines, you don't know everything. In fact, you don't know anything. And you in the chat room, you don't know anything. Because I don't know anything. But it just so happens that's how I've been prospering, by not knowing anything. And when I don't know, I ask questions. And when I ask questions, I just expect an answer. And when I get an answer, that's how I grow. So when you ask a question and someone doesn't answer you, stop talking to them and go to the next person. And you'll come to find out that some institutions, some places, their security lies on you not asking a question. My God, when you do ask one, watch what happens. The Rodney Jackson Show.
I want love, I want love, yeah. Love is everything to me. Love is everything. I need love, I want love, yeah. Oh,
feel the way I wanna feel inside. I want love.
LP, you can pick that up by simply going to anthonyakking.com. Fantastic album. It's a lot of all I play on my show. Most people don't know that their birth certificate is a blank note. And if you ever get the original copy, it says it right on the certificate. The Social Security Act of 1935 was designed because you became collateral on a defaulted loan. The corporation called the United States of America filed for bankruptcy in 1933. This can go on and on and on and on and on. I'm not going to say wake up people because we're woke. Maybe you just don't want to believe it. Into Knowledge says the entertainment industry is completely fraternal. Knowing what we all know about the entertainment industry, can you tell me why anyone would still be selling their whole soul just to get into it? They have a backup plan. And if you're going to get into it, I would say read. And for those of you that stay on the J. King Network, J. King knows a lot about those numbers as it pertains to the music industry. He ain't no punk when it comes to that. The information is free. And for those of you that claim to really be in the music business and you want to do it, me, I'm just half-time. Sometimes I'm in and out. I procrastinate sometimes. But the music business doesn't call me like that. I have talent. But my life is not dependent upon it. And I could write a great song and just listen to it and be happy and just let you hear it. And nobody has to buy it. I'm just glad that I can do it. It makes me feel good. It gives me chill bumps, and it makes other people feel good. And that's the joy that I get out of it. The money that I would get from it, it's temporary. As soon as I spend it, it's gone. But the relationship that I have with the listener is forever. And I can always get the love from him, and I can always get something else that doesn't pertain to money. I can get other things, other actions. I can get words. I can get a relationship forever. But right now, we don't have to call names. If you are in the music industry and you haven't gone to all the shows, you can. They're all archivable, the way I see it, or the music industry. It's all on the jkingnetwork.com. And all the shows are archivable. And if you don't have a piece of paper and have all this information written down, then what are you doing? You couldn't say that you are seeking to be in the record business. And if you're not on the internet reading, or if you don't have a book and you're not reading, then you're not doing anything. Just to be honest with yourself, sometimes I'm not doing nothing. Sometimes I'm doing absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I'm talented as hell. If you just joined us, why does X want systems that are leading us to our demise? Why does he want that in place? And why is it so visible, but it's hidden? And from here on out, after today, will you continue to fall prey to systems that are not even really hidden? Will you continue to subscribe to it? When do you look at the cable company and you go, you know what, man? Call your cable company right after the show and ask the customer service rep to explain to you all the charges that they're charging you. And when he can't, just remember that I'm telling you now that he's not going to be able to tell you all the charges. And then tell me why you're paying it. Why do you continue to give your hard-earned money to people that are just charging you? They can put anything they want on there and charge you for it. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest frauds that's going today. If you have internet service by your cable company, I'm going to tell you what they're doing, and I'll bet you it's every state. This is exactly what they're doing. They're selling you a package, and they're telling you you're supposed to get. They'll offer you the package, internet, up to 10 megabytes. Most of you don't even know your package. But I'll bet you right now, if you go online, click on a tab, I'll tell you what the link is. I think it's called Speed Test. It's a speed test. I'll type it in. Let me find out what it is. Speed Test. Is this the one? Okay. Speedtest.net. Type that in. When it comes up, click on Begin Test. First, it'll calculate your download speed. And then it'll test your upload speed. A lot of these companies, they promise you a certain amount of megabytes, download speed. Right now, I'm getting 51.73. At a certain point, they said they wasn't offering it. But if you paid a little bit more money, you could get this. Well, I was able to get my internet for cheap. I'm not paying what I'm supposed to pay. But that's me. I'll bet you right now that what they promised you that you're getting, I'll bet you you're not getting it. If you get 10, I'll bet you're getting 2. But I can tell you what's not changed. Your bill is the same. If you're paying 30 a month for 10, you're paying 30 for 2. If you call them and ask them why, they're not going to be able to tell you. And who's supposed to be able to tell you is supposed to be the customer service rep. So tell me why the customer service rep can't tell you. And why is it that in most companies, I don't care what it is, why is it that most customer service reps cannot tell you? Why does X want that in place? Because they think that all of us are stupid. And if you're paying your money, well, we kind of are. Until you start asking them why. You know what you have to do? You have to do this speed load test that I just told you about. This is what you get on this show. Take a screenshot of this, make sure the date is on there, and present this to your internet provider, and they'll give you a credit. And if you got a little change on you, you probably could sue them. Because they're frauding you up. They're not giving you 10 megabytes. Ask them what the minimum is that they're supposed to give you. Because they'll try to get you, well, it says up to 10. That means that they don't have to give you 10. Then why are you advertising 10? Well, sir, they're not going to give you an answer. You're going to get upset, just like you watched me get upset when some of you don't answer my questions. You see me get a little irritated with you. It's the same feelings, but nobody's going to persecute you for it. But they're going to try to give you the okey-doke until you hang up. But if you hang in there and ask to speak to his boss, and when the second person don't tell you, you ask to speak to his boss, eventually when you come out of there, you're going to have a credit. That's what's going to happen. It's exactly what's going to happen. You have a question or statement, feel free to call in 347-205-9366. 347-205-9366. What if people that love you, people, stop talking to you? Where would you go from there? You would continue to pay the cable bill, and they would continue to take your money. That's why you don't have any money to do some of the things that you want to do. People, family, I call you family. Family, why does X put a system like this in place? You have a family, a wife, and a father, and some kids, and you want to go to Magic Mountain. It costs, in Los Angeles, $69 per ticket to go to Magic Mountain. That's the entry. It costs another $20 to park. It costs another per for a burger and fries and a drink. It costs like $8-$9. By the time you get out of Magic Mountain, Universal Studios, all those parks, you're going to spend anywhere from $400 to $500. And you think you're going to ride 25 of the 50 rides? No, you're going to ride more like 4 of the rides. It's going to be so hot and congested that you're going to get the hell out of there. Because Magic Mountain don't care about how many rides you ride. They care about the 60 per that you're dropping at the gate. And that's all they care about. If we don't go to Magic Mountain anymore, what happens to Magic Mountain? I'll tell you what happens to Magic Mountain. They lower the damn prices. And Disneyland, too. I'm sorry. Maybe if you guys don't go, maybe the 1% will go. 1% ain't going to, it's not going to uphold it either. It's not going to happen. They're going to close down. They're doing it is because we're letting them do it. After today, we're going to be different. It's a little bit different. When you go to school, ask about some things. When these parent groups that are at school, I forget what they call them. What are the parent groups? You know, the little group of women that represent this committee at school, and they take in the money, the fundraisers, right? Find out who collects the money and find out where the money is supposed to be delivered to and get a receipt that the person delivered it. I can tell you just recently, well, last year, supposed to be a pizza party that never happened, and all the parents gave up like $20, and we found out that some of the money went to a teacher, a gift. This is what X does, you idiots. That's what they're saying about you. You parents are stupid. That's me included. I'm a part of the stupid bunch. We're not stupid, guys. We're very capable. We're God's children. We have everything that everybody else has. X is making it bad for us. But X is stupid too. There's no system that he can put in place that could forever keep us down, because we're as smart as he is. When we apply our gifts, our proper communication, our effective communication, we can counter any of those con games that they put into place. There's a loophole anywhere you look. All you have to do is look. For the ones that don't believe it, don't listen to it. They'll be the ones that will continue. For the ones that believe, we'll start getting credits and we'll start getting into doors that the non-believers won't be able to get into. The ones that are available and that have ears that listen, not ears that hear, but ears that listen, we will start to achieve. We will start to prosper. For the available people, do not feel sorry for the unavailable people. Because to be available, I guess you have to have unavailable people. Let them fall by the wayside, because there will be casualties. Do not take a, don't stutter step for people that's not even willing to even put their foot forward. Let them go. You have to. It's necessary. I don't even know if I want to do the show anymore right now. I kind of want to just stop it right now and say, well, I'll just be silent. I don't want to preach to you. Right? I don't want to be preachy. I ask family this. X wants a certain race of people to go to jail. These are all systems of demise hidden in plain sight. My cousin's in jail. He was supposed to be out. Allegedly, they just made up something, and now they didn't let him out, and they transferred him somewhere else. Why would someone that knows he's about to get out strike a guard? Does that make any sense? I'll tell you what it is. He was stealing from some white people, and they felt like he didn't get enough time. This is what I believe. And they felt like he didn't get enough time. And I think some white dollars flowed in to get him some more time. So he's not out. Why does X want that? Are there more black people in jail than it is any other race? I'm not even going to go on the internet to look that stat up. I'm just saying, who should be in jail are the people that are committing crimes. If there's a certain type that's committing crimes, why? Why are so many people resorting to drugs to sell them? Why are so many people on drugs? What exists in our country that suggests that the only way to make it is to sell drugs? There's a lot of stuff to do. Why can't our citizens get jobs? That's X, y'all. I'll tell you why. Upper class, $200,000 plus. They represent 1.5% of our population. That's why. Only few can have the Mercedes. Only few can drive the Lamborghini. They don't want most of y'all to have anything. And we fold and we crack and we break down and we act out, we lash out. And when we lose it, they put us in jail. When we lose it, they fire us from our job that's not even paying enough for us to even have a life of quality. When you lose it, you slap your wife and you go to jail. Your family splits up, your males get destroyed, and the cycle continues, and your family name is shamed. They put rims and chains and clothes on television, and our kids watch it, and they're not being parented, and they grow up idolizing the things and chasing the things, and then they start trying to find a quick way to obtain the things that don't mean a thing. They have no relationships, and they're trying to be rappers and all this stuff. And then by the time that they're 29, they realize it is just it's just a dream. It's not real. It's fake. They don't have no money. And then they're finished. And they start all over at 30 or 40. Systems of demise, hidden in plain sight.
Talk to God and be
on my way.
song says talk to God. Talk to him. Hey, y'all. I didn't know MC Bree died. I just typed in a list of rappers that died. MC Bree dead. His kidneys collapsed. Good medical plan sure would have helped. MC Trouble dead. Big L dead. Eazy-E dead. Mac Dre dead. Tupac dead. Notorious B.I.G. dead. Scott LaRock dead. Lisa Left Eye Lopez dead. And countless of others. Old Dirty Bastard dead. If you can think of some more, chat room. Jam Master J, that's right. Dead. Why would anybody want to get into the rap game with a big chain and cars and talk about selling drugs? I'm talking about the new ones. And why is that so hot? And is X involved in that? Hey, guys, remember the clean-cut guy, Heavy D, dead. Vesta Williams. David Ruffin, dead. Donny Hathaway. Why are all these great people dying in the way? All these people that I name, are they natural causes? Is this coincidental or is this a system of destruction hidden in plain sight? I'm asking you. And if you question it, are you chasing that? If you have some more names, keep them coming. Now we can just get out of rappers. Just Whitney Houston, dead. Why? Sam Cooke, dead. No, not natural causes. It's in a barroom fight in China. Sam Cooke, Antoinette? I don't know. I guess I don't really have to say anything about that subject. At some point, you got to go, you know what? That's too many names. That's too many damn names. Michael Jackson, dead. Marvin Gaye, dead. Are these people all too old to not have even been able to be here? Some of these people know. Can you imagine what joy we would have if all the people I just named were still here making music? Woo! X says, hell no. We got to move some people out. We got new people coming in. No. No, 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 no. And over my dead body will all you be driving Lamborghinis. There will not be Lamborghinis everywhere around here. Most of the people that I named in the chat room, most of the people that I named were dead before 40 years old. Is that coincidental? I'm asking a question. Is that normal? Donnie and Marie Osmond are still alive and working. Cher is still alive and working. Sonny's gone, though. Phyllis Hyman, dead. Wow, man. That's a lot of people. And we haven't even started naming actors or actresses at all. That's a lot of people, man, a lot of great people. A lot of necessary people. Music is necessary. Sit in a coffee house with no music and then have them turn some on and see the difference. It's mandatory. James Brown. He's gone. Amy Winehouse, dead. I know you're probably tripping right now, like, damn, you know what? He's right. There's a link in the chat room. Click on it. I'm going to go to it right now and see what comes up. Raz B from B2K on life support after being attacked with a bottle. Singer Raz B from the group B2K is now on life support and may not make it after an unbelievable altercation in China. According to TMZ, the singer was hit in the face with a bottle in a nightclub. His publicist, Toy Jones, says that he is in a coma and needs as many prayers as possible. The singer was performing at the nightclub when a fight started in the crowd. He apparently went to try to break up the fight and was attacked in the process. He received immediate medical attention, but was later rushed to the hospital after being cut on the lip and face. He even had minor surgery. Doctors thought he was going to be just fine, but this wasn't the case. The next day, the singer didn't wake up and was rushed back to the hospital. Doctors have checked the singer's brain activity and have determined that he may not make it. Right now, he's not breathing on his own and has been going in and out of consciousness. They are using a ventilator to keep him alive at the moment. Rasby's real name is Demario Monte Thornton. He's just 28 years old and was born in Cleveland, Ohio. Come on, y'all. Thank you for the post, chat room. You want to be in the music industry, guy? You going to get the American dream from there? No, I'm not saying you can't be in the music industry and perform in clubs. I'm just saying be armed, be educated, get that communication on you, be able to see the signs. That's all I'm saying to you. Stop being unavailable. Stop being ghetto. Stop being stupid. Stop being idiots. Wake up. Slap yourself. Punch yourself. Kick yourself in the teeth. Wake up. Stop being defiant. Stop thinking that you know everything. Stop thinking that your way is going to get you to the next level, because if your way was going to get you to the next level, you'd be there now. You don't have it all, and you need to go confer with someone else. And you need to shut up and believe the other person on the outside, because they care about you. Why? Because you feel like you care for about the other person. Shut up and just do it. You start to grow. You start to grow. You continue to grow. Take a kid and mentor him. It's bad out here. Just look at the kids, at the way they act. It's everything that I've been talking about. Mothers and fathers, stop with your BS. Settle it up. I personally believe that there's no reason that anyone would have to argue. I believe that wholeheartedly. Arguing is a lack of the ability to communicate. It's a communication breakdown. At worst, I agree that we disagree. Why would we be arguing, and why would we be hitting each other over the face with a bottle? And why would it be F-U, and why would it be U-B, and U-C? Why would it come to that? Why, when people are telling you something that really is good, that you hang up the phone, or you leave the chat room, or you hang up off the air? Why would you not want to come someplace where somebody is saying something that you know sounds good, and if you followed it, you would grow? Why would you not juice if you knew juicing was healthy? Why would you not drink half your body weight in ounces of water every day, and you know that that will save your life? Why would you not drink 24 hours in the morning and make yourself defecate? Why would you not do that? Why would you not get up and run in the morning? Do some push-ups, a sit-up, a pull-up, a treadmill. Why would you not go to the gym and lie about your available time, when in all actuality, the available time that you really have that you're saying you don't have, you're sitting on your ass watching television, eating a donut. And when the inner tube grows around your waist, you say you have a medical condition and that I'm being superficial. And then when your body shuts down and you're in a coma, you might think about what I just said. You might want to get up right now. In fact, I'll go to a song, go get some water right now. Go get a bottle of water and drink it. And for those of you, when I play this song, why would you not get up and go get the water? Because somebody else is telling you, I know. You're a grown woman or you're a grown man, and you don't have to do what I ask you to do. That's kind of idiotic to me. So, we're about 30 minutes out, and I am going to go get some water. I'm going to play my cousin. This is Down on My Knees. You listen to the Rodney Jackson Show, right here on the J. King Network.
Baby,
Yes, that superstar cat. One of my favorite singers in the whole wide world. Anthony A.K. King. You're not going to find many that can sing like that dude. Or even do what that dude does. Most of the song intros is by him and Sessions, Welcome to My House, the J. King Network, it's all AK. Love is Everything album, written, produced, all everything. Album covers, artwork, he arranged it. Domingo did the artwork. AK's a bad dude. Congrats, cuz. I'm going to share one last thing, and I'm going to get out of here. By the way, I'm drinking my water, too. I'm drinking my water, y'all. I hope you went and got yours. The water lubricates the joints. Helps you get rid of the stuff you don't need in your body so you can pee it out. I'm going to share one remedy with you, and we're going to shut it down. I've informed you about X. You know how to deal with him now. If by chance any of you have pain in your knees, in your joints, I'm going to give you a remedy. It sounded crazy to me. It was outside of my box. I didn't believe it when I heard it. But I tried it. So when I play ball, my knees swell up. That's my problem, my knees. But I love it so much. I'm good at it, too. And I'm coaching little kids to play ball. I teach them fundamentals. And I'm good at it because I'm watching the results. So if your knees are hurting you really bad, go to the store and purchase a red onion. That's right. I said a red onion. Bring it home and slice it up. Take the onion and put it in a skillet. Grill it a little bit till it's hot. Take the onion slices out and put them on your knees. Wrap them up with either an ace bandage. Or they sell this little tape. It's like, I think it's called M-tape. It kind of grips itself. It's real thin. And you wrap that tape around your knees with those onions on it. And you can put it on the sides and on the top of your knee and on the back. And wrap that sucker up real good. Don't cut your circulation off, though. Then wrap it with ace bandage. Go to sleep with onions on your knees or your joints, whatever hurts. When you wake up the next morning, the pain will be gone. My personal testimony, I had both of my knees were hurting and swollen. I put the onions on my left knee, and I put ice on my right knee. When I woke up the next day, most of the pain was gone. The next day after that, I went out and played basketball. When I looked at my knees last night, my right knee, which is the knee that I did not put the onions on, is swollen up. My left knee, it looks pretty good. Minor swelling. That was the onion knee. Don't believe my words. Go to the store and buy a red onion and try it out for yourself. It's been fun. I appreciate the chat room that's joined us. I appreciate all the calls. If you'd like to catch any of my shows on the J. King Network, you can always archive them at thejkingnetwork.com. You can also catch my shows on the Brian Orr Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio as well. It's been real. I love each and every one of you. You've been listening to Welcome to My House, The Rodney Jackson Show. Keep God first. Continue to grow. See you next week. Love you.
Welcome to my house. This is a song about love.
Yeah.
But it's not a good love. It's not a real love. And if your love sounds like this, then that ain't love.
When I work, putting hard days, that's how I keep these bills paid. At my crib, things go my way. Don't give a damn about what your girlfriend say. When I come home, ain't no way in. Should have my dinner on my plate and clear the table when my meal is done. And break me off, girl, when I roll on some.
Girlfriend, don't let them watch you like that.
That ain't love.
You pay your own bills, got your own car, got your own grip, you got it like that.
That ain't love.
He can cook and serve his own damn meal. And if you don't, some other trick will. Walk away when you can, girlfriend. Better yet, you better run to that ain't love.
See, in my house, that's how it's gotta be. Knew I was thugging when you met me. So you know that I don't play around.
Well, I know that.
Girl, don't make me put my Mac hand down.
You better step back.
If you want me to be real with you,
get real.
You better do the things I tell you to. So don't be tripping, just respect
you
me.
You gotta earn respect.
Cause in my house, that's how it's gotta be.
Girlfriend, she's trying to run a game on you.
That ain't love.
Listen here, ain't no talk back. Ain't got no time for no tit for tat. Girl, you know where your place is at. So you better recognize that. See, I'm a player from the old school. And in my house, it's just the same old rule. So don't be tripping, just respect me. Cause in my house, that's how it's got to be. You love me, baby. I've been good to you.
And still, here's a reason for your tears. Why you let him treat you so
don't
bad?
Don't let nobody
don't tell me
play you for a fool.
Think about feeling, keep on believing.
Don't
get on my skin and decide.
Cause then you're
proud
now.
Girl, you're all I need. Hush, you are. Thank you. Yes, this is Conversations with Amenti the Writer. How's everybody doing out there? I couldn't pick the worst day to do this show. It's Labor Day in New York City. For anybody that's out there knows for sure that this is like big, big day. It's just one of them days where it's like the world is empty. You mean, well, the whole New York City is empty because it's a day for those from the Caribbean culture to celebrate their culture, the Jamaicans to celebrate their, should be over 40, over almost about 50 years of independence. And, you know, it's just a day of celebration. Me personally, I never make it. I guess it's not meant for me. I never make it. Every year I ever tried to go for the past years I've been in New York City, I never make it there. And I never go because, like, especially by myself, it's one of them type of parades you cannot go by yourself. You have to be there with people, and you can't put yourself in a very vulnerable place like that. So I never make it. You know, maybe I'll make it one year. Maybe I will really get to go out there. But to be honest with y'all, you know, though I do like, you know, to celebrate and have fun at times and kick back, it's a little iffy with me. Parades to me are just, I'm leery of parades. It's just a place where anything can happen. I know that's like anywhere, but parades specifically, it's like one of them places where I'm just like, you got to be careful at a parade. And I'll share this story. So I had a time where there was someone who there was a disagreement. It was more like a rumor. You know, this person went basically, when this person left to go south, she decided that she wanted to talk smack about everybody. And she didn't even know me like that. She met me through someone. And so she wanted to talk smack about everybody. I mean, you name whoever, when she left. Now, how ironic, I was at, I can't remember what parade I was at right now. But I was at this parade, and, oh, man, it was a lot of stuff going on. It was like, was Afropunk there yet? No, it was Afropunk, but this was years ago before Afropunk. But I happened to be walking, and I told my friends, I said, look, I'm going to leave. I'll holler at y'all. I got to go to work or whatever. See y'all later. How about I'm walking by myself? The area is just straight empty, and I'm walking, and she's walking the opposite direction. And I see the same female that was talking all that stuff. Now, what if I was some person who was like a fighter and confrontational and quick to anger and stuff like that, it would have been hell for that person. So it's little stuff like that that I think about, like in those moments, you know, where you just like have to be careful. Because also I find in that parade, there's also a lot of murders that happen. A lot of people end up dying from floats and stuff because people are so open and wild and dancing and enjoying themselves. And then some people, I guess, they, you know, see their enemies. And interesting that happens because, like, history repeats itself. And I feel like everything in God's universe is like consciousness becoming conscious of itself. So what I'm saying is, like, Edgar Allan Poe did a poem where he saw one of his enemies. And so what he did is he preyed on this enemy, and he ended up putting this person inside of a wall, pretty much killing them. And nobody knew. He explained the parade and how loud it was and how no one was paying attention and how strategically he did this murder. So it made me, you know, think about that. So I'm not in the switchboard, unfortunately. I can't even play any music, which sucks, man. Gosh, what's a show without music? But anyway, the show must go on. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and talk about and get, I know we're all sick and tired of hearing about Miley Cyrus and this whole VMA thing, but I'll just put it like this. My plan of this show, I always sit down and I write. That's why they call me the writer. And I was thinking about, okay, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about that will be very important and something that people can truly learn from as I speak about it. And this is the purpose. That's my whole purpose of this show, Conversations. This is a place where I can kick back, because most of my conversations are very esoteric, spiritual, metaphysical type of conversations. And here I can just kick back and talk about everyday conversations that anyone will talk about. And I said, okay, I'm going to talk about Egypt. I'm going to talk about, you know, what Egypt is about, and, you know, and these different things about Egypt. And I said, you know, because I think there's just a misunderstanding in black people and this and that. And that was the plan. That's what I was going to talk about. And then, lo and behold, my mate has me sit down with him and watch this VMA Awards. Usually, I wouldn't have entertained it. I wouldn't even have watched it. So I said, okay. And I see this Miley Cyrus thing. And so something just suddenly just, like, clicked in my head, like, okay, something, I'm watching this for a reason. So we see that Macklemore wins the number one rap song, which is This White Guy. And then, and this is not about racism, just take a minute to hear me out, please. You know, Macklemore wins. Justin Timberlake wins the Michael Jackson Vanity Something Award. Okay, NSYNC is back. Whoop-de-doo to that. And Miley Cyrus is twerking. Now, let's rewind for a minute. Anybody that doesn't, August 25th was the day that Aaliyah died. It has been 12 years since Aaliyah has died. They did nothing for Aaliyah, nothing at all for her. Also, the 25th, a lot of great people have died. Michael Jackson, Aaliyah, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, James Brown, Farrah Fawcett. Who else? I can't remember right now. But there's a lot of great artists that have all died on the 25th. So this day is a very special, special day for a lot of the great celebrities. Oh, Dean Martin also died on the 25th. Big Mama Thornton and Flip Wilson also died on the 25th of the month. So I would think that there would be something for Aaliyah, something, of course, you know, Michael's birthday was coming up and all this stuff. Nothing. Now, Miley Cyrus in this twerking thing, I'm one of them people, I have a different way that I view things, and I see that a lot of this stuff is staged, it's a hustle, it's how they make their money, and other things. And I didn't get into the whole Miley Cyrus twerking thing. I said, okay, Miley Cyrus is twerking. And I was a little offended at first, because I was like, okay, if this was some black woman twerking, if this was Willow twerking, if this was Rihanna twerking, it wouldn't be so hyped up. It wouldn't be so cute. And then I heard a song by Jay-Z, and he was like, yeah, Miley Cyrus is still twerking, and I'm laughing and everything. And I've heard another song with Soulja Boy. He was like, twerk like Miley. And I heard someone else, somewhere I kept hearing this, and I'm like, okay. And this is all prior to the VMA. So the VMA happened, and Miley Cyrus is twerking. And to the point now that twerking is in the dictionary. I said, okay. Me personally, I'm not against twerking. Twerking is a form of African dancing. It's just the same thing but different extremes. You know, Mother Nature, it may rain. And some days it may rain and it may be foggy. And then some day it may rain and then it may flood, or it may be cold as hell. It's the same. It's rain, but it's just two extremes of the same thing. Hot and cold water, same thing. It's just different degrees of this very same thing. That's what I see twerking as. So I didn't really stress it. But then I had looked and I'm saying, how could this not be on some level of some racism somewhere? Because, and also something else, more is going on. I'm not against anyone's race. I'm not against anyone's sexuality. It is about, let's just talk about facts here. Let's just talk about what's in plain sight. This guy Macklemore, first of all, we got all these white people that, you know, hip-hop has become very universal, very popular now, okay? It's not just about the hardcore rap or about the lyrical content and the rap battles. It's not just about that. Though that still goes on, that stuff is now on the level of underground stuff now. And so we have these white people that are doing all this stuff now, and then this white girl, Miley Cyrus, starts twerking, and then it gets into the dictionary. And then this Macklemore guy wins an award, and he wins an award for the number one rap song. Never even heard the song before. And the song is talking about gay people and a gay lifestyle. And I'm like, okay, you know, how could this not be something where they are trying to sneak something in here, where they're trying to do something on such a larger scale? And this larger scale is, I'm really putting this into words the best way I can, because it's like you see it, but how do you explain exactly what your spirit sees? And it's like it's basically what I'm saying. Let me get my words together. What I'm saying as a whole is that our children are now going to be exposed and open to things that I feel that should draw the line for what children should see. Even down to our middle school children and even high school, I feel they're not mature enough to see certain things. I understand that someone has a sexuality. I understand that this is your sexuality or whatever the case may be. But I don't feel that there needs to be all this extreme gay rights and this and that. Everybody has a right for everything. But I don't feel it needs to be to this extreme. Because what I see happening now is, this is your sexuality. First of all, sexuality is private. It doesn't matter what your sexuality is. I mean, and then the way you dress doesn't always define your sexuality. How many men dress in tight clothes that are not gay and they have wife and children? How many women dress baggy and they have husbands and children? But husband and children don't mean they're not, but you get the point that I'm making. Clothes doesn't define that. Even though the clothes now are very unisex, and some people are complaining about that, but I've been seeing that. But my thing is, like, what I see happening now is we are going to be exposed to something on another level, such as transgender. I know very much about people who are transgender, who goes through the part of day where they try to transform over. The women have the hardest time with it than what I see with the men. I've seen women who tries to transfer over and they have gone through some mental breakdowns. The men, I haven't seen that so much unless there's something else going on. But I see that happening because years ago, I remember this man was preaching on the corner and he said, you know, we're going to live in a world where a woman's going to want you to call her sir and a man is going to want you to call him ma'am at work. And I don't see that to be necessary. I don't even see it necessary for people to know your sexuality or anything at work. Work is work. If you choose to get personal with anybody at work or whatever the case may be, then so be it. That's your business. But I think it's too extreme when it comes to a point where someone is like, hey, I identify as a woman, so I want you to call me ma'am. And then this person may still have a beard and may still even look like a man, and you still have to call this person ma'am. You see, I'm just being silly with that. But just feel me for a moment. Just hear me out for a moment. Feel what I'm saying. And that's what I see that's going to happen with this whole gay rights thing. Once again, I am once again not against anyone's sexuality at all. I have concerns as a parent. That's what I'm saying. As a parent, as a mother with two children, I am concerned about something. Because my small daughter will see a boy who looks a little feminine or who has a pocketbook or something, and she'll say, isn't that a boy? Why is he dressed like that? And as a parent, I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't even feel like I have to. But this is what's happening out here. And we can't control it, just like you can't control if you're walking down the street and there's a bum and he got himself laid out exposed. All I can do is turn my children's head and call the cops and get him off the street. And this is the same thing with that. So as far as the marriage thing and all that, I don't care. I feel like anybody of any whatever should marry a human being that they want to marry. Marrying animals and stuff, that's someone else's business. They could do that in private. But on a serious note, when it comes to getting married, as far as, you know, same sex, opposite sex, I could care less about that, you know, whatever. But when it comes to the gay rights thing, as far as I identify as other, then this is what you have to call me. This is what I like about the prison system. The prison system says, though you may have, you're a man, and you may have, you know, you may have these breasts and this beautiful makeup on, and you look like the physique of a woman, when I pull your pants down and you still have that penis, you are officially a man, and you are going into a man's prison. Because you look so much like a woman, we're going to put you in a sensitive needs yard so you won't get attacked while in prison. The same thing, I say the same thing applies here. Now, the argument could be, well, what if the man really does look like a woman and you work with this man? Should you still call a man, you know, ma'am or sir? To be honest with you, if you ever really sat down and talked to anyone who really truly lives a transgender lifestyle and they work, no one knows that they are the opposite sex. Yes, no one knows. I don't want to call it a double life. They live their life as the opposite sex, and they change their name, whatever they do, and that's how they identify themselves. That's it. And the only people who may know if they're otherwise is the people that know them. I remember a transgender man said to me that, he said, in my neighborhood, I identify as a woman. And at work, I identify as a woman. And he said, you know, at work, sometimes people question. I can see that they look and they wonder, but no one says anything. But I'm a woman. So here you have this person living this lifestyle, and then again, I question the people that's going to want that to happen. Does Justin Timberlake, going back to the VMA, does he deserve an award, Michael Jackson, Vispitarian, or whatever that was? No way. I'm not here to take away anybody's award, but, I mean, come on. Come on. The VMA was so obvious. They gave, how many people, like, but Kendrick Lamar, 2 Chainz, I can't, Kanye, they all performed on one side, on one stage, and got their one little session. And that was it. Miley Cyrus got all the shine. How funny, she's twerking with nothing, and all these beautiful black women are around her, and you know, they barely even show them, but they're showing Miley. Robin Thicke comes out. Robin Thicke, who's like put in a category of a black singer, comes out. Justin Timberlake, that's put in a category with black singer, comes out. And shit, Justin Timberlake took up the whole show. NSYNC got like 9 seconds. And then that was the end of it. They came in when Justin was tired of dancing and exhausted. And that was it. My prediction, what do I see? What do I see? It's quite obvious. What I see is that we are going to be, and it's so deep now because even people in the LGBT community, that's lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual community, are going to even disagree with a lot of things, because some of them do disagree with a lot of the things that's going on. It's going to come to a point where we are going to have to be exposed to things, and our children are going to have to, we are going to accept what we see. Now I have another thing. Think about this. Everything in this world is about vibration. We are all the same people, whether we want to separate ourselves, but we're all the same people. This is why I'm here in America, and I can have an experience of a dysfunctional family, and somebody all the way in China can have the same exact dysfunctional family, the same experience as me, and we can become best friends, and we don't even speak the same language. So it's not so much about skin color and all these different things with people. It's about vibration. You see, great example. Let's take videos. Videos are the greatest example that I could always tell you. You got two videos. You got one video that's talking about a kid knows how to, let's say like a teenager graduates from college. So I watch that video because that's something I'm interested in. I'm in that vibration, so I'm interested in that. And then there's another video that says a little girl twerking, because there's a video like that, little girl twerking. I'm not going to watch that video because I'm not on that vibration. And the title alone is like, I don't want to see that. So what's going on is these worlds are now coming together. There was once a time where there was this underground world, and then it was people that lived on the other side. And what's going on is these worlds are now starting to collide. And that's what the internet is showing. Because you have these things, once again, world star, girl get train ran on her, 12-year-old girl gets train ran on her, woman is drinking and smoking while she's pregnant, somebody fights, just all kind of wild stuff that goes on in this world. But there's some of us that don't know about this stuff because we're not on that vibration. Or we are just like, or we won't even know anything about it because we're not on that vibration. I can't sit around and watch brutal fights. I can watch some funny fights, people rolling around and no one could. I like watching fights like that because it's entertaining. But to watch a brutal fight, I can't do it. I'm not on that vibration. There are women who drink and smoke while they're pregnant. There is a world out there where men are prostitutes. There is a world out there where there are swingers. There are children prostitutes. That's in this world. But if you're not on that vibration, you won't know anything about it. See, what happens now is when you begin to turn on these videos, you have put yourself aligned with that vibration, and you're going to continue to see it more. So if I watch one video of a little girl twerking, then there's going to be 10 more videos that I'm going to see out there, and then I'm going to be more upset about what I'm seeing, and then I'll be on the show talking about it. But we have to take a step back, because if I'm talking to you right now, we need to take a step back and think about that. There are some videos that people are out here watching. They're ranting, they're complaining, they're saying we need to do this, we need to save the babies, we need to do that. But why did you watch that? The title alone told me not to click on it. Think about that, people. The title of the video alone told me not to click on it. And these videos, they don't, some of them trick you, but certain videos, they will tell you exactly what's going on with the video. I remember an old friend of mine, she said to me, I watched the video with these guys running the train on this young girl, and they was doing all kind of stuff to her, and someone needs to teach these young girls out here this, that, blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, why did you watch that? Not that I didn't care about the girl or whatever the case may be. I understand that there's a world out there where that stuff goes on. They don't have no mama, no daddy, and that's their life. You understand? There's a world of people out there, that's what they do. They party, they drink together, they have sex together, and that's the clique that they hang out together. That's just how it goes down. I understand that. And there's other people out there understand that too. But my point to her was, why did you watch that video? Why did you watch it? When you saw the title of the video, think about that. So, the whole purpose, again, of what I'm saying is, as again, this is Conversations with the Mentee. So I'm just talking to the world right now, and I'm saying to everyone, we have to take a step back and begin to think about our actions and begin to think about the things that we are doing out here. And think about the stuff that we're even pointing fingers, judging, and complaining about. I'm not judging or complaining about anything at this moment. What I'm saying is, let's look at the details of everything that's clearly going on in front of us, in our face. That is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Let's just look at what's going on clearly in our face. What was that reason, going back again, that they had to show everybody that this was the best rap song, and it was something about being gay? The song didn't even sound good to me. I didn't even like the beat. Kendrick Lamar has the best rap album. He has the best rap album. Lyrically, he is the best. Next to him, I like J. Cole. I see potential with him. I like J. Cole's album. Chris Brown, I was about to say Chucky, where'd that come from? Chris Brown, Usher, hard working artist. Do you hear me? Especially Usher. How long has Usher been going? Don't get me wrong, Usher got his award. Usher got a whole session of people singing his music, I think with the BET Awards or one of those award ceremonies. So, really, a Michael Jackson award, Justin Timberlake? How long has he been gone? And then he comes back with the suit and tie song, and Jay-Z raps on it about whatever, and then this album, and it sounds like a typical as Justin Timberlake. You know, years ago, just like the NSYNC coming back, is this Justin Timberlake coming back with the same music stuff? Let's think about this. TV screens, especially movie screens, are made out of silver. Silver comes from the moon, which is reflection. So what is being reflected back to us? And the moon is our emotion. So what is being reflected back to us? Tell me something right now. What did you feel when you saw that award show? Those of you who actually watched it, what did you feel? What did you feel when you saw LaMotta Miley Cyrus up there twerking? And I have to say this. The reason why I see that black people are so quiet, I don't think it just needs to be black people. I say all culture people who come from a culture of dancing and certain styles and all that. Why are they so quiet? Because there's still that aspect of our people that's missing in understanding their culture. I sat here and just said to you that twerking is a form of African dancing. I wonder how many of you do not agree with me right now. I wonder how many of you want to argue that with me. I already had one person argue with me and say that twerking was first invented with a woman grinding on a man. Any form of dancing can be used as a stripper dancing. That's still African dancing. Still take technique. Some people dance and they don't do it, you know, what's the word? It doesn't look good. So, yes, I'll say it again. Twerking is a form of African dancing. People in New Orleans was complaining about it. How long have we been, as cultured people, how long have we been dancing? How many dances have we invented? How many dances have we created? The only dance I know Caucasians to ever have done was square dancing. And as dumb as that shit look, that's a hard-ass dance. And I guarantee you, they probably got that shit from us. How hard have these white women been going to dance? Those chicks used to roll their whole back before they finally got it that it was in the hips. It was in the hips and the movement of the body and the move. When? And then, check this out. This is no conspiracy theory shit. I'm speaking what I see and my perception. Michael Jackson died. No, let me take it way back. I read an article when I was in middle school with Michael Jackson. I am not a fake Michael Jackson fan. I am a serious, diehard Michael Jackson fan. But I'm going to say this. He said in this interview, he said, I was in middle school. I was born 1984, do the math. He said, I do not like the way they dance now because it looks so robotic. I never forgot when Michael said that in that interview. It was, matter of fact, I'll tell you, it was the Vibe magazine and Michael's on the cover of that magazine. And I think he has on white. It was a Vibe magazine. He has on all white. And he said it. He said, I don't like the way they dance because it's so robotic. Michael passed away. Lo and behold, all of these dance games, who do you think that was for? I mean, we all love that little step. Oh, don't forget the little step game. We used to, you know, the square and stuff we used to dance to, and you had to follow along the arcade game, and then it branched off to something big. Who do you think those dance games and stuff was for? Black culture is the most copy culture, but nobody wants to be black. We are the most praised people, black man and the black woman. That goes for African American, if you want to call it, black American, the Caribbean, the Africans. Anywhere where there's melanated, cultured people, even going down some of the Spanish brothers and sisters, everybody copies us, but they don't want to be black. Grills, what they call grills or what was called fronts, you can go back in ancient times where the pharaohs had diamonds and gold in their mouth and their teeth. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. And this is why today I'm on this show right now talking. And I had sat here and I had a plan and I said, I'm going to talk about Egypt, known today as Egypt, ancient new as Kemet, and talk about how great our ancestors were, the beauty, the Ankh, the symbolism, the story of Isis and Osiris. I was going to sit here and talk about all of that. Then this Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber thing happened. And then I sit here and I see that they're going to sit here and put twerking in the dictionary. And then I see that my a brother went against me. I didn't even respond to him when I had mentioned that twerking was a form of African dancing. And then I saw there was an article, I don't have it here, and people from Magnolia, New Orleans, and they were upset and said, Miley Cyrus is destroying our culture of twerking. She doesn't, that's not twerking, that's not how we do it, that's not what it's about. The same thing with the Harlem Shake. The same thing. Another brother argued with that. That was a great discussion. Oh, man. I didn't even. that was a show in itself because it was two brothers going back and forth, and one was saying that they were upset that these people were doing the Harlem Shake, and it was not the Harlem Shake what they were doing. And this this news lady was speaking against it, and she said what she had to say in a very intellectual way and very direct. And another brother was saying, look, yo, this is stupid. Why are y'all defending this? This is so dumb. But this same person wasn't from New York City. So I take it as that's why maybe he didn't understand it or he was just being who he is, but it was his opinion. But I find it very interesting. You see, this conversation is not even always comfortable for some black people. Some black people can't even, not even just black, but people, period. When it comes to the conversation of racism with us, it's not a comfortable conversation. And I wonder why is that? It's like our race is the only race that has to explain why we call things stuff. In the writing world, there's it's called urban fiction out here. And urban fiction is popping, like, it's big. People are making their money from it. It's a big market. But it's not just about that. It is black people from that level of life telling their story, telling their true, real stories. Okay, some of them are faking the funk, but they're telling their stories. So why do we have to have a conversation explaining why we're calling it urban fiction and why we can't call it fiction? When other cultures come here and be like Caribbean-ness, Latin-ness, Mexican-ness. See, that's the thing. Immigrants, other cultures, they make sure they put their culture, their title up in there. Yeah, we all in the Caribbean, but I'm from Trinidad. Yeah, we all in the Caribbean, but I'm in Jamaica. And I'm going to put that title on there. But as soon as somebody black, us, woo, long, big-ass conference discussion for us. We have to reexamine that. We truly have to. And I feel like all this stuff happening with hip-hop, with, you know, these two white kids, you know, Bieber and Cyrus, Miley Cyrus, whose father, I mean, mind you, is a country singer, and his birthday is August 25th, the same day that she had did that stunning performance, and all these other people are pretty much where, you know, hip-hop is not what it is. I saw some Asian girl named Honey Cocaine, and she raps like some kind of Asian, you know, female Soulja Boy rapper. And then she has a nerve to make a song saying, Asians run this. And I'm just like, sit your ass down. Like, what? Make up your mind. If Asians run this, why don't you do some Asian music? You understand? Or take your Asian ass on that side with the Asians. Why are you over here with us rapping? So it's little stuff like that. But the reason why this is happening to us is because it needs to be a breakdown with our culture, with our people, for our people to know who they are. And I'm really starting to understand and see that. I have been one of those type to analyze and analyze. And then one day it just hit me. And I said, we are the fallen gods, and we have to rise back up as the phoenix all over again. Batman, the Dark Knight Rising, that's us. We're going to have to do them push-ups. We're going to have to do everything we can to get that leg, to get ourselves back working again, until we say enough is enough. But it's not even so much enough is enough. We have to discover who we are. That's what it is. Illuminati videos is an attack on black people and black culture. Everything about Egypt Kemet is us, our ancestors, our story. Nothing on those walls is an accident. Everything, when you really study and understand it. Greatest civilization. No slaves build no pyramids. That's stupid. No way in the hell you're going to be sitting there building stuff with some whip on your goddamn back. Ridiculous. No aliens build no pyramids either. Ridiculous. How many people are building pyramids now? Tell me right now, who's building those pyramids again right now? Exactly. That's greatness. So, you know, people, again, you are tuned in to Conversations with Amenti, the writer. And I'm saying in as a whole is that I'm saying a lot. And I just want to just say, like, we have to open our eyes. And we can step up. We can say something. We can censor more. We can monitor more, you know. If there needs to be a program to be built to monitor and completely guard our children from certain programs, then that's what we can do. For those of you, if you're on the line right now, I apologize. I'm not in the switchboard, so I cannot take any calls. I'm so sorry. I wish I could, because I really would like to build and speak with somebody about this. But next time, it will be so much greater than this. But it's okay. It's okay. I was coming from partying and stuff, but it's okay. But I'm saying in general is that, you know, lost my thought. As a concerned parent, once again, I have small children. You know, I think about a lot of stuff. I do. I try not to think too far ahead, but I realize that music is, everything is going to change. I mean, I can adapt, period. But I'm saying that I feel like the whole transgender thing is going to be something that's going to be major. Because, okay, that's it. I see this often. There was one girl who was actually going through, she is still going through it with her transformation from a woman to a man. And this woman, she actually looks really good. Like, her transformation and stuff looks really good. Like, you really would not know that that was a woman. Her voice and everything has transformed. But anyway, she was talking about the LGBT community, and she was complaining, and I've heard this before, she wasn't the only one, about, well, you know, they're calling it the LGBT community, but that's why the T is at the end, because nobody really cares for the transsexual. No one really accepts us. And there's this thing that's called dysphoria or something like that. I guess that's when the transsexual, the transgender person goes through some kind of depression or something like that. I'm not really sure. But it's just interesting to hear these stories. And they're advocates about themselves and who they are and this and that. And that is such a heavy topic right there, because where do you begin with someone who decides that, hey, God made me like this, but I feel like I'm the opposite sex? Where do you begin with that? And then you can't control the people that's making their money helping these people transform with these pills and these breasts and these different things. And it goes back to extremes, you know, plastic surgery and all this stuff. I feel, honestly, you know, I can, just like I say, I feel prisons are for just rapers and child molesters, but, okay, you reap what you sow, so there's other people in there, you know, other crimes in there, but I feel with the whole plastic surgery thing, I feel it should be for people who have, you know, serious health problems, people who had great tragedies. You know, I had a biology teacher. She was, you can tell she was an extremely beautiful woman, and her whole face twisted to the side from a car accident. Someone like her deserved plastic surgery to get her life back. But, you know, now it's stuff is used for vanity. Once again, to have full lips and high cheekbones, like who? None other but melanated people. You know, and now you got the butt implants and all that, but that has nothing to do with race. That's just any woman right there. Looks like more black women are getting the butt implants, butt shots than anything, you know. But in general, people, that's just a little bit of my concern. I know you probably be like, how do we go from Miley Cyrus to all of this? But nah, just listen to everything I said. That is just a little bit of my concern. And then it's like the other question is, if someone is completely transgendered, is it necessary for them to tell people, actually this, when they're really this? You know, is it truly necessary? If this woman is going through this transformation, she has this deep voice and stuff, does she necessarily have to say, oh, well, I used to be, you know, born a woman? You know, and of course, the man who completely dresses like the woman and all that stuff, you know, is it so much to think about with that? And that part is a part that will be a little scary to me, because then what happens when it trickles down to young children? You know, you've seen the video. I saw you also that video with the woman who had the son in the dress. And she actually wrote a book about it. And she allowed her son to wear a dress. And the father sat there and said nothing. And the mother was just like, yeah, I let her wear a dress, and it's okay. He feels like he's a girl, and I bought him this and that. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then what if that child, this boy, is in my daughter's school? It's not a comfortable feeling. It's just really not. And I just feel like when it comes to children that young, that's just my concern. Like, what if that little girl says, you know, hey, I'm a boy, and I want my teacher to call me a boy. And this little girl is like 7, 8 years old. Does the teacher supposed to call her what she's supposed to? Because, you know, what the little girl wants her to? And I'm not trying to take it deep. I'm just saying, like, let's truly, absolutely think about this. We, you know, we knew people, you know, since forever we knew they were gay. And then, we know, we just known them to always be gay. And it's just how they've just been identified. And we're cool with them. But it's like, when it takes it to another level, you understand? You know, how much do we accept it? So, it's 10:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure I'm not missing out on something I have wanted to say to you guys. It sucks not having music, man. Music is the best. I like to talk over music. It helps me think. It helps me put a rhythm in my mind. You know, it just when you're sitting here and you're just talking like this, it's just like that, it's just like, oh, gosh. It's like you're standing in front of a bunch of people and everybody's just staring at you, waiting for you to say the next words, and you just can't grasp or find the next word. So, definitely email me for any comments that you may have, and we can just bring it on to the next show every last Saturday of the month on the J. King Network with Amenti the Writer. Amenti the Writer at hotmail.com, and in all caps, put conversations, you know, conversations. And I'm sure I don't have to spell conversations for you, right? And make sure you put it in all caps so that way I can completely identify that this is somebody from the J. King Network, someone has a question or even a comment, and I will definitely get to your comment. So, Macklemore, I don't know much about this group. If I'm even saying this guy's name right, Macklemore, who won this award. Now, the bright side is I thought the performances was great. I actually like Miley Cyrus's music. It actually sounds really good. Did Miley Cyrus sing Party in the USA? I'm not sure. Let me see. I don't think, was that Miley Cyrus that sung Party in the USA? About to Google it right now. And interesting how they had all this stuff going on, and Miley Cyrus, she sung Party in the USA. That's her. I love that song. I need to put that up on here. They had Hannah Montana playing. For those of you who don't know, hi, Miley Cyrus is Hannah Montana, my sister. My little sister actually watched her growing up. And Hannah Montana, they had the movie playing with her and her father in it. I don't know, some country movie they had going on. But the performance is actually good. I like Miley Cyrus' music. I like her album. I'm actually going to get her album, download her album. And, I'm going to download her album. And, sorry, got a little distracted. And Justin Timberlake, I don't know. I thought about getting his album. He had a great performance. Like, he had a long performance, but it was a great performance. I'm not going to lie. When NSYNC came out and they were performing and I knew all the songs, I could have fell to the floor. I was like, oh, my gosh, I really, really did listen to NSYNC. I didn't have a crush on any of them or anything, but I really did listen to NSYNC. I think my friend Shevia, she probably liked one of them. She had always liked white boys. She had a crush on, like, one or two of them or whatever the case may be. So, yeah. Anyway, that was entertaining for me. But anyway, guys, I am getting super-duper sleepy. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed talking to you all. Please stay with me every last Saturday of the month at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with me and Amenti the Writer Conversations. And we just want to have more conversations like this. And next time we can get people on the line and we can talk some more and really get some discussions going and maybe a little bit of debates. But anyway, love you all. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. I will enjoy mine definitely. And peace and love.